Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Tonight we start part one of a two-part series looking at the showdown on Mount Carmel. What we'll see in this text is God puts himself in the ring, as it were, with the gods of the age. The outcome of the showdown was to show that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The challenge of this text is simple. How long will you go limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. As I read this, I was reminded of the words of Joshua. Joshua, at the end of his life, right before the book of Judges, where the people did what was right in their own eyes, Joshua asked a similar question. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness," in Joshua chapter 24. He says, "Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." He says in verse 15, "If this is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In these two texts, we see the call to choose. If the Lord, he is God, then serve him. If he isn't, then don't pretend. Serve the God that you believe is God. If you believe that the Lord, he is God, then the call tonight is to live like it. If you don't, then proceed to worship the gods of your own making. My challenge for you in this short two-part series, as we work through it, will be to choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the gods of this age, or will you serve the Lord? What we will see in this text is there is no middle ground. There is no space to sit on the fence. In actual fact, there is no fence at all. It's either you are following the Lord or you are not. Jesus himself said, "You cannot serve God and money." We know from Scripture that you cannot serve God and your flesh. You cannot serve God and you. You cannot serve God and your relationships. You cannot serve God and your ancestors and your ideologies and your cultures. It's either you are serving him as God, or you are serving the gods of your own making. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Won't you follow with me in your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll pick it up from verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.' So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now, the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over his household. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, 'Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals.' So they divided the land between them to pass through it. And Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in another direction by himself. And as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, 'Is it you, my lord Elijah?' And he answered him, 'It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And he said, 'How have I sinned
that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they would say, he is not here, he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, go, tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, and I know not where. And so, when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth, has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by the 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Let's pray together. And so God, tonight we pray that you'd so work in our hearts to really remind us of how great you are. I pray tonight that we would be those who are persuaded by your word to believe that the Lord, he is God, and so we determine to follow him. I pray, Lord, that if there's one among us who is on the fence, Lord, I pray even tonight, not even waiting for next week, that tonight you would get them to commit to living lives of absolute surrender to you. Use this time of the preaching of your word to speak to us, Lord, and draw us by your Spirit near to you, and Lord, plant within us that desire to want to live in obedience to you. God, it is true we love you. It is true, Lord, in our minds we know who you are, but Lord, our lives don't show it. And so I do pray, won't you use your word to remind us of your expectations of us? I pray even as I preach that I would not have my own agendas, but I would only speak that which you have prepared in my heart. Use me as your servant, your mouthpiece to your people. God, whatever it is that I have prepared that is not true, I do pray that you would keep me from saying it. Lord, help me to say only that which is true of your word. To your glory I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in our text, verse 1 says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. This was an event. The meeting between Ahab and Elijah was a big deal. We see this in Obadiah's response. I want you to imagine for a moment the meeting between Donald Trump and Xi Jinping, or Putin and NATO, or India's prime minister and the prime minister of Pakistan. You have no idea what will happen when these two powers come into the same room. Well, before the late AKA passed on, I could have asked the question, what would happen if AKA finds himself in the room with Cuesta and your vest? We have no idea what would happen. I didn't even include in my notes, but I did now, what would happen if Zelensky and Putin find themselves in the same room. You get the idea. These are two worldly and widely recognized rivals who would be coming to the table to discuss matters of the state. You can imagine the tension. You can imagine the fear of those who surrounded them. Whatever could happen there, it's about to go down. The meeting between Ahab and Elijah was massive. Ahab was the current king of Israel, who we are introduced to him in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. It says, in the 38 years of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri began to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Verse 30 of chapter 16. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonites, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Imagine that reputation. He did more evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And friends, Israel had some bad kings even before Ahab. Not only that, but he decided to get married to a lady by the name of Jezebel. Just that name alone, the world already knows, unbelievers know that Jezebel is a bad lady. There's no one who's running to call their children Jezebel. In fact, Professor, for those who are older, said himself, "Ujezebel uyankwatisa, ujola no oskido no tira." That's just a song that says Jezebel is promiscuous. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonites. Jezebel was wicked. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, who was an idol priest and murderer of Philetus, king of Tyre. And in her marriage with Ahab, she never rested until she got all the forms of her Baal worship introduced into her new home, which happened to be God's chosen nation of Israel. Ahab was a bad king who married a bad woman. Because of Jezebel, we read in verse 31 that Ahab would go on to serve Baal and worship him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria, and Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings who were before him. That is the king that we're introduced to. The second character in our text is Elijah. We don't know a great deal about him. In fact, we're introduced to Elijah in chapter 17, and it simply says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead." We don't see any story like scales falling from his eyes. We don't hear the command to leave everything and follow me. We just introduce to him and bam, he is thrown straight into action. It says, he said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel," in chapter 17, "lives, behold, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Again, nothing much is said about who this Elijah is. We know now in hindsight that he is a great prophet of God. We know that he appears with Moses when Jesus was transfigured. We know that he was an Old Testament forerunner of God, and we know that he was a prophet used by God and one who did not see death. In fact, he was taken up by chariots of fire. And here in this text, we know that he is wanted by Ahab, the evil king of Israel, because he prophesied in verse 17, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Have you ever been invited to go play with your friends? Maybe your friend has just bought a new toy. I remember my friend had just bought a new ball, and I remember the whole week we were just waiting for Saturday. Because Saturday morning we were going to go to the park and we were going to go finally play with this new ball. But on Friday, I was playing with the keys. My mom had warned me, "Do not play with the keys because they're going to get lost." I was like, "No, of course, I'm not going to lose keys." I lost the keys. My mom said to me, "You are not going to leave this house until you find those keys." I can tell you, I looked for those keys. I spring cleaned the house. I didn't have a garden, so I cleaned up the balcony. I woke up my siblings. In fact, I got all my friends to come into the house to look for those keys, because no keys, no play. Well, Elijah in this text said, unless I say the word, there will be no rain in Samaria. And then poof, he disappeared. Ahab has been looking for Elijah because there's been no rain in Samaria because he has not said the word. Ahab looked for Elijah to the extent that he went to the other nations and kingdoms and he would seek for him. And when they would say he is not here, he would make them take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found him. And finally, in chapter 18, we see at the command of God, God finally releases Elijah and says, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. And so in verse 2, Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. The lack of rain brought about a great famine. Animals were struggling. Peoples were struggling. The famine was severe in Samaria. And then we're introduced to somebody else in verse 2. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah was feared the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself and Obadiah went in another direction. We're introduced here to Obadiah. Obadiah's name meant worshiper of the Lord or servant of Yahweh. His position was he was the chief of Ahab's house. We read in this text that he and Ahab decide that they will split and go look for food for their livestock. But I want you to notice something about Obadiah. Obadiah was an ordinary Christian who was working for an evil boss. An ordinary Christian working for an evil boss. The Lord in his providence had placed Obadiah right in the house of a man of great immorality and godlessness. A king who is known for provoking the Lord to anger. It is in this guy's house that the Lord has placed Obadiah. And yet, the testimony of Obadiah is this. He feared the Lord greatly. Obadiah, we can conclude, was a man who remained devoted to God. Look how he responded when he met Elijah. It says, and as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, is it you, my Lord? Is it you, my leader, Elijah? This Obadiah risked his life. He took a great risk and put his life at risk by hiding the prophets of God who were being hunted down by evil Jezebel. She was killing them. This did not happen in his first year of service. It didn't happen in his second year of service, but it is said that Obadiah had served this evil king for many years before he would have the opportunity to serve God by hiding these prophets. It was after long service to Ahab that Obadiah had the opportunity for obedience. After years of endurance under his evil leadership, he remained faithful to God. And when called to action, he could respond in obedience to God. Listen to a comment that Spurgeon made. He said, explain it how you will. It's a remarkable thing that in the heart of rebellion against God, there was one man whose devotion to God stood out as deep and sincere. Just as it was shocking to find a Judas among the apostles, it is inspiring to find an Obadiah among Ahab's officials. What amazing grace must have been at work to keep such a flame burning in the middle of a storm to preserve godliness surrounded by such deep wickedness. He feared God more than anything Ahab could do to him. Obadiah was strategically placed by God, like Esther was, in the king's courts for a specific kingdom purpose. He was carried by the amazing grace of God. How do you view your life? Do you see your life like this? Where has God placed you? Are you feeling persecuted by the evils of those who are in authority over you? Why has God placed me in this place of immorality, in this place of godlessness, in this place of suffering and persecution? Have you ever prayed a prayer that Obadiah must have prayed in his many years of service? It may be true that Obadiah prayed, God, how can I shine my light for you in this dark place? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever prayed asking God, God, help me to endure as long as I need to, even if it's to save one soul from suffering in this place? Or do we spend most of our time complaining about the place, joining the evil in that place, gossiping about our boss, slandering our boss, and even hating the place where God has called us, and yet He has placed you there to be salt and light? The placing of Obadiah was strategic. The placing of you is strategic. Friends, I want to remind us this evening that full-time ministry is not just for the pastor. Full-time ministry can also be for you. God can call you to serve Him full-time in the office. He can call you to serve Him full-time in the classroom, full-time in your neighborhood, and full-time in your home. Obadiah was an ordinary Christian used by God for an extraordinary mission. Friends, I want to remind us that the placement of every believer has been strategically thought out by God for your edification and for the advancement of His kingdom. The grace of God is sufficient to carry you through the scary dungeons of godless offices. The grace of God is sufficient to carry you through the dark dungeons of your classrooms and your homes for the sake of His kingdom. The grace of God is sufficient to keep you devoted to God, even if you are in the camp of the ungodly. Let's go back to the text. Look at verse 7. Chapter 18, and as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" Talk about things escalating quickly. Elijah wants Obadiah to go to Ahab without accompanying him to the very same king who threatened nations. He wants him to go and say, "Hey, look, I didn't find grass along the way, but you'll never believe who I met. As I was traveling and looking for grass, that guy that you've been looking for years, Elijah, I saw him. And he said I should tell you, behold, Elijah is here." Surely, Elijah is trying to get Obadiah killed. And he says, "Whilst you were in hiding, Elijah," Obadiah tells Elijah, he says, "whilst you were in hiding, I can tell you, as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where." Did you catch that? Nations have had to swear that they have not seen Elijah, and if they were caught lying, they would lose their kingdoms and their nations. And now he wants Obadiah to go and say, "Hey, I have seen him." Obadiah's response is, "I know our God. I know our God is able to, when Ahab comes looking after you, our God will hide you in a cave somewhere, and what's going to happen to me? And so when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find you," Obadiah says, "he will kill me. And although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth, has it not been told my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here and he will kill me. I like this. Have I not done great things for God, for him to ask me to risk my life in this way? I already risked my life when I hit the prophets. I also fed them going the extra mile. I have feared the Lord from my youth. Surely my record is good enough before God that I can skip out on this request. Elijah, surely there's somebody else that you can ask to go to Ahab and say, behold, Elijah is here. Is this not true of us today? God, do not inconvenience me today because I gave you my yesterday. From youth, God, I served you. I feared you. I lived my life for you. I memorized verses in Sunday school. I was faithful to going to church throughout my high school. Why would you call me to inconvenience my life again for you today? Remember, God, when I served you at Holiday Club? Remember when I went to all those mission trips? Remember when I shared the gospel with those people? Remember when I taught in Sunday school and served in the kitchen? Remember, God, when I preached your word from pulpits and people said amen and and ah. God, look at so-and-so. They are the fruit of my discipleship. Why would you ask me again to risk my comfort? Why would you ask me to risk my reputation, risk my material goods, risk my life for you? Surely I have done enough. Friend, I want to remind you tonight, your past obedience does not exempt you from present commitment. God wants your today faithfulness. Your service in the past does not put on silent your call to sacrifice and surrender today. Friend, God still wants you to die to yourself today, regardless of what you've done in the past. He still wants your 100% commitment in your current season of life today, regardless of your accolades and the badges on your blazer that you have for service to our King. He still calls you to live for him because he still has a purpose for you. He still wants you. He wants to use you as a vessel of truth in his kingdom. He still may ask you to risk your job for the sake of the kingdom. He still may ask you to risk relationships for the sake of the kingdom, even if, by the way, you've lost relationships in the past. Even if, by the way, you've given thousands and even millions of rands for the sake of Jesus, he may still ask for more because what he has given to you far surpasses anything we can give to him. He still may ask you to risk your grades for the sake of the kingdom. He still may ask you to risk your career aspirations for the sake of the kingdom. He still may ask you to risk your dreams and even your life for the sake of the kingdom. Remember those stories we heard in Sunday school or those videos we watched on YouTube of men and women who gave up everything to go serve God in the 1040 window, and we thought, man, those are such honorable people there. God could call you now. God could call you today. And he could say, today I want you to leave everything behind you and go serve me in Iraq and share the gospel of Jesus Christ there. He could call you to abandon your dreams of making millions of rands and living in Sandton or in Waterkloof and accept a lower paying job because there's better gospel opportunity there. He may ask you to leave all that you know and all that you love to reach a people in desperate need of the gospel. Friends, the good works that he prepared for you are not exhausted by time. the good works that he prepared for you before the foundations of the world are not exhausted or put away because of the highlights that you have in your walk with Christ. They will exist for as long as you are a Christian on this side of heaven. If you're alive, God still has a plan for you. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Well, it ends on an anticlimax. Tonight I'm going to stop there. Ahab went to meet Elijah. The big meeting happens right before the great showdown. So the question I want you to ask yourself is, how could that be a full sermon? The bulletin said, you are coming to hear the great showdown. You know there's fire, there's toilet talk in this text. Maybe you came to hear about the gods who are relieving themselves. Well, there is application. And I want you to consider verse 21. The main question in this portion of scripture is, and Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. What I want you to see in this portion of scripture is that the power and the glory of God is not only seen in him sending down fire, but the power and the glory of God is seen in his still constant streams of providence. If Elijah doesn't meet Obadiah, then Ahab is still angrily looking for Elijah. It is God working out his sovereignty through his ordinary means of providence where he displays his glory as God. What I wanted us to see in these early stages before the fire is God is still as great a God outside the fire than he is in the fire. Don't wait or call for that fire come down from heaven, but just look at your life. How he has played things out and planned things out, and you will see the greatness of our God. Friends, it was by providence that Ahab would with his own eyes see how bad the judgment of God was upon Samaria. It was by providence that he would split with Obadiah so that Elijah could meet Obadiah on the way. It was by providence that Ahab would be open to a solution to the famine, even if it was through Elijah. The point is, yes, sometimes God will use the storm. Yes. Sometimes God will bring the earthquake. Sometimes God will bring the wind. Sometimes he'll bring the fire to show people that he is God. But friends, he shows his glory even in the day to day. Friends, he displays his glory in his sovereignty. The moments of seeming coincidence when things just fall together, when things just so happen to fall into place, that is the glory of God in display. We need to shout his praise even in that. Friends, tonight, before we get to the fire, I want to show you that the fire only proclaims in a season what his providence teaches us every day, that the Lord, he is God. Friends, a prophet we've seen in this text, a chief in the household of a king we've seen in this text, and we have also met a king. The prophet, he was a man called by God, a man called by God to meet the enemy of God. I want to encourage pastors, interns, and staff in the room. God wants to use us to display his glory. He wants to use us for the furtherance and the advancement of his kingdom. Where we currently are has been strategically placed to serve God in Central Baptist Church for the advancement of his kingdom. May he find us fearing the Lord with all our lives. But I also want to speak to the so-called ordinary Christians. God wants to use the students. He wants to use the workers. He wants to use the CEOs. God wants to use the stay-at-home moms. God has called you to a different kind of ministry that is a ministry nonetheless. You've probably heard me say it, but it's worth saying again. God has placed you where He has placed you for the sake of His kingdom, and my God does not make mistakes. You are where you are because He has prepared for where you are good works to be done where you are. Friends, God is raising up servants, even in the midst of depravity. God knows that nothing is more difficult to do than serve Him faithfully in the midst of such a corrupt and crooked generation. And yet, He still looks for servants who will not be quiet while sin reigns. He is looking for those who will speak, those who will serve Him, even if it will cost them their place, even if it will cost them their reputation, even if it will cost them their lives. He's looking for those who will stand up for Jesus no matter the cost. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. I want to close with a quote and a verse. R.C. Sproul said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the resolve to obey God despite it. The call to obedience often leads us into danger, not away from it, but we do not go alone." Friends, may the Lord find among us those who will be able to say, "I have feared the Lord from my youth. With my whole heart have I worshipped Him." Psalm 34 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the face of the earth." Let us pray. And so, God, the question in this text was simple. How long will we go about limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. God, I pray that You'd help us to see from Your word that, God, even before the great fire is sent down from heaven, God, You still show that You are God. Lord, in our day-to-day lives, God, there's many instances where You display Your power and Your lordship over all things, and it's in that that we are to give glory to Your name, because there You are proclaiming still that the Lord, He is God. I pray, Lord, that You'd so work in our hearts that we would not be deceived that there is another. So work in our hearts, Lord, to help us to see that the gods of this age are none gods. Help us to see that in this earth there is nothing that can satisfy us like our God. I pray that You help us to see that it is a glorious thing to live in the fear of the Lord. And so I pray, help us to do the hard work. The hard work of investigating and asking the difficult question. God, why have You placed me here? God, why have You placed me in Arcadia, Pretoria in 2025? God, why have You placed me in the University of Pretoria, in TUT, or even at home? God, why have You put me where You have placed me? Help me to be faithful there. I pray that it would be said of every one of us in this room that he or she served the Lord greatly. That he or she is one who lived in the fear of the Lord. God, I pray this for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.